It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have three square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured, valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Well, thank you. And again, the big day is only 24 hours away.
I'm like you. I've always loved Fridays. I remember I loved Friday night home football games. I just loved Friday. Friday, and I do. But you know what, Steve? I actually like Monday because there's a lot to do and we get to it. Actually, Steve, I like every day with the word day in it.
Okay. Well, you know, there's, like they say, sometimes there's no accounting for taste, but that day after Sunday, you can have it.
Well, you know what? I so appreciate it. I was just thinking about it the other day. This team, again, I mentioned it, how great it is to get to work with all of you, but you really behind the boards. You really do a good job. And that's one of the things what I've realized with people that do jobs well is you take it for granted. And I'm not going to do that because you do such a great job on that. And again, I can say that about everyone on the team. So thank you.
Well, I guess it's human nature to a degree to take things for granted because I don't know what the mechanics of taking things for granted really are. But like you said in one of our recent shows about just the simple act of flipping on a light, one day you might flip that light switch and nothing happens.
And it would be because of public policy. And it's important to connect that dot that this public policy that is happening local, as well as at the state and the federal level, has for many, many years has been chipping away at things that we have taken for granted. And what this has done is this is really squeezing the middle class. And I think people are waking up to this. But, you know, when we're talking about affordable, reliable, efficient and abundant energy with Bob Boswell, you don't just build a coal plant. You don't just build a gas pipeline. Those things take planning. It takes capital. And when we see these policies that have been occurring that are making it more expensive for Americans to heat their homes and turn on their lights, people, we need to connect the dots that is public policy that is making this happen. And I think it was Lincoln that said that the ballot box is more powerful than the bullet. And we're seeing that, you know, we look at these issues, Steve, through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, their livelihood. You know what? I should probably add in there opportunity. Because that's what we're seeing is also we're taking away the opportunity of our children through force, and it's public policy force. And so whether or not somebody, a robber comes up and puts a weapon, you know, to you and says, give me your money, and they take your money out of your pocket, or whether or not a politician or bureaucrat or interest party uses public policy and says, give me your money, at the end of the day, either way, the money is out of your pocket. Is that too strong to really say, Steve? Do you think?
No, it's not strong at all, because in our reality, you know, the people's reality, that's the way it works. And we feel almost the same way, as powerless as if it's the face-to-face robber or if it's the, you know, not-so-visible politician.
So that is a great segue into go to our website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Last week, we rolled out a couple of really great op-eds. One was Brad Beck's Help Wanted. The other is Patty's fourth in the series on LEAP, which is the Proposition 119, which is on your ballot. The acronym that the proponents, the cronies, gave to it is Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And bear in mind, this is this puts in place, it's quote-unquote supposedly a new retail marijuana tax, increasing the state retail marijuana tax 33%. And when taxes get so high, I know there are those that say you will have less of that. People will buy less of that. Correct. I think people will buy less legal retail marijuana. But there is an alternative market out there, which is the illegal market. And that will create more crime in our neighborhoods. And I think hurt many people. And it'll hurt many of these small minority-owned businesses that are in this business. So we have a new acronym for this.
Okay? I thought you might get to this. Go ahead.
Okay, I was in a meeting the other night, and somebody brought this up, and I love it. They said LEAP, Proposition 119, is actually leftist end run around the people. There you have it, Steve.
You know, that's snarky, and I like that. It's not from the queen of snark who works at the White House, but that's the kind of snarky I like. Not so much what comes out of the White House.
Yes. Snarky with a little humor. How's that? So there's truth in this. There's humor. And it pokes fun at these cronies. And I'm coining a new word. And Patty said, Kim, cronyist is not a word. I'm like, well, I think we could make it up. And so she and I are in this back and forth on whether or not I can make up that word or not. How do you vote, Steve?
I vote for it. That, use it as an adjective. That's great.
Okay, so I'll find out what Patty has to say about it. I feel like that whole story now of socialism is what, two wolves and a sheep and voting for what's for dinner. So that's you and I now on voting whether or not cronyist can be a new word.
Ah, that's the way it goes. I think I misspoke the other day on the air. I said, in this democracy that they keep jamming that word down our throats about the two wolves and the sheep, but it's socialists. Got it.
Yeah, there you go. So we've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Deb Flora, who is a radio show host as well. And she has thrown her hat in the ring for U.S. Senate to challenge Bennett. That's getting to be a very crowded field over here on the Republican side, and a crowded field with I don't know all of them, but I know a number of them, and all really fine people. So this is exciting to have so many good people stepping forward to run for that particular seat. So we'll talk with her in the second segment. And then David Horowitz, you know him. He grew up, his parents were communists, basically, and he was part of the New Left back in the 60s. And now he has moved over. He is one of the most conservative voices in America today. And he has a new book out. And I Can't Breathe, the racial hoax that is killing America. And so we'll be talking with him about that. So because we'll be talking about race, I was looking for quotes about race, and I found this from Michael Jordan, which I thought was really an important comment on that. And so let me get right to that here, Steve. And Michael Jordan, as you know, he is an American basketball player and possibly the greatest basketball player of all times. And he said this. He said, if you do the work, you get rewarded. There are no shortcuts in life. And you can see how successful he was because he did the work. And I just thought that was very inspirational as we begin the show, Steve.
Well, what better picture, I mean, in word picture in your mind when you say this is a quote from Michael Jordan, who he obviously did the work in turn on the basketball court. How many years coming up through his youth and whatnot, probably on a basketball court every day. And so we know what he did in the NBA. We're certainly aware of what he's been doing in the business world for his, his entrepreneurship. So, yeah, he's getting it done.
Well, and speaking of entrepreneurship, I wanted to go to one of these headlines that Patty had pulled. And this is from the Associated Press by Scott McFetridge. And it says the title is Unhappy with Prices, Ranchers Look to Build Their Own Meat Plants. And this is Des Moines, Iowa. It says, like other ranchers across the country, Rusty Kemp for years grumbled about rock-bottom prices paid for the cattle he raised in central Nebraska, even as the cost of beef at the grocery store kept climbing. He and his neighbors blamed it on consolidation in the beef industry, stretching back to the 1970s, that resulted in four companies slaughtering over 80% of the nation's cattle, giving the processors more power to set prices while ranchers struggled to make a living. Federal data show that for every dollar spent on food, the share that went to the ranchers and farmers dropped from 35 cents in the 1970s to 14 cents recently. And bear in mind, that doesn't say whether or not that's adjusted for inflation. And we were talking with Bob Boswell about how we've taken for granted reliable, affordable, and efficient energy. I think we've also taken for granted our prices at the grocery store as well, Producer Steve.
Well, he does... You know, this guy names names, and this consolidation or conglomerate, whichever word best applies, it's Cargill, JBS, Tyson Foods, National Beef Packing. Why, again, the little guy always gets crushed, whether it's from a group of individuals like this or corporations like this, or it's the government. I can't understand sometimes why Americans will do things that obviously hurts other Americans, and they just don't seem to care.
But the silver lining here, Steve, is entrepreneurship is starting to starting to percolate again. So this has been going on since the 70s, and look at what we have now. They're looking at this. Now, you'll see government probably trying to stop them with rules and regulations.
Oh,
but
my.
More power to them. More power to them. So, but we're going to go to break. And speaking of beef, one of my great sponsors, Hooters Restaurants, has burger specials. And you can get those specialty burgers and a side of curly fries for only $10. And I think it's all day, every day. And so they have the mushroom Swiss burger, the bacon blue burger, Southwest burger, Western burger, a mac and cheese burger, a Cali burger. And again, that's $10. They're holding the line right now on that. So be sure and check that out. That's at my website. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Deb Flora.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We greatly appreciate it. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do that. And again, at my website, kimmunson.com, we have our voter's guide, which is a very thorough analysis of the three ballot questions on the state ballot, as well as a thorough analysis of a sales tax increase, a 55% sales tax increase proposal in the city of Lone Tree. And then we also have a list of recommended school board candidates. So we hope that this will be a very good tool as you are completing your ballot. But getting past this particular election and looking into 2022, we have on the line with us Deb Flora. She is a radio show host, and she has thrown her hat in the ring to challenge Michael Bennett regarding the U.S. Senate seat. Deb Flora, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Kim. I really appreciate it.
So you just recently announced that you are running for this particular Senate seat. Tell us why.
Oh, absolutely, Kim. First of all, it is time that we restore some common sense and stop the nonsense that's going in Washington. Many people know Michael Bennett. Well, actually, they may not know him because he's kind of the invisible senator in the empty suit. No one really sees him around the state. And even more than that, Kim, he is completely out of touch with the damaging policies that are being brought down on Coloradans through Biden and Bennett. And let's be really clear, Michael Bennett, while he may portray himself as a moderate, he votes with Joe Biden 100% of the time. He votes with Bernie Sanders 96% of the time. That's why we are seeing the devastating effects right now on Colorado families all over the state. We're seeing right now a 54% increase in the price of gasoline just in Denver, and that's happening all over. So we're going to see these terrible policies coming down, crushing working class families, the inflation, looking at 20% increase in meat, you know, and then you look at the fact that the vast majority of Coloradans just want the same things. They want to pursue their dreams, run their businesses without the heavy hand of government and the trillions of dollars of debt they're trying to put on our children and our grandchildren. And then they want to live in safety and security. When you have Michael Bennett on the Intelligence Committee praising Joe Biden for the disastrous pullout in Afghanistan, you realize you have someone that is out of touch, and they're really basically, they are pursuing defeat abroad, and they are sowing division here at home, and it needs to stop.
So you just said that Senator Bennett, Michael Bennett, is on the Intelligence Committee. That seems like an oxymoron to me, Deb Flora.
Well, you know what, Kim, that's actually a great line, and probably so. Well, especially, by the way, when you have someone like Joe Biden, the president, who needs to have a check and balance. We need to take back the Senate. We need to take back the House. Because talk about an oxymoron. You know, under Biden and Bennett, Bennett being on the Intelligence Committee, they held their harshest words for concerned parents whose responsibility it is to speak up at school boards. Like myself, I started Parents United America. They actually sicked the FBI on parents, calling them domestic terrorists. Well, under Biden and Bennett, they are calling the Taliban partners. So when you have this kind of upside down, through the looking glass disconnect with the people of this great state, it's time we step up and stop it. So there's a lot of oxymorons coming out of D.C. right now at this time.
Well, and to mention this about Senator Bennett being invisible, I can't tell you that would ever recognize his voice. I don't recall him ever really addressing the people.
Well, and Kim, this is one of the reasons why I've jumped into the race, and I ask people to go to DeborahFlora.com. They can learn more about my candidacy and what I stand for, which is the people of this state. Not only is Bennett absentee, there's been more damage done, and he has lost BLM, Bureau of Land Management, Space Force under his watch with barely any response to that. And in addition, it kind of makes sense that he is so out of touch because he is a third-generation politician. He grew up in Washington, D.C. He actually is back in his hometown. He grew up in Washington, D.C. He went to one of the most elite prep schools in the nation, then went to Wesleyan with our other Senator Hickenlooper, and some people now call them Benalooper because they both are so much alike in being out of touch with the everyday Coloradan. And this is where I grew up, on Lowry Air Force Base. You know what? I'm a business owner. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. And those are the things that the vast majority of people here in this state care about. You know, living in safety and security, an education system that puts parents and children back at the center, and an economy that every Coloradan can afford. When Bennett is absentee from here and he lives an out-of-touch career politician lifestyle, it's time to replace him, and I truly believe that the vast majority of Coloradans understand that.
Deb, you mentioned something that I'm connecting a dot, and that is Colorado has, looks like from a political standpoint, has become a blue state. I'm not sure that I totally buy that, but certainly since the early 2000s, Colorado has really been focused as a place where if you can take from a voting standpoint the, you know, the Front Range counties, you can somewhat control the state. And I hadn't really realized that Bennett was an export of Washington, D.C. And so many times what we're seeing is politicians come to Colorado because I do think Colorado's at the tip of the spear. And if they can make it happen in Colorado, then they try to export it. But again, many times they come to Colorado so that they can try to get elected and push these really far left agenda items.
Yes. You know, and a lot of people do think that this is a blue state. I really believe it's a purple state. And what I really believe is that it is a state where the vast majority of our citizens, be they Republicans, unaffiliated, independents, even many Democrats, realize that the radical nature of what is coming out of Washington, D.C. is so out of touch with what the vast majority of Coloradans want. You know, Kim, as you mentioned, I've been a radio host. I've gotten to hear from people all over this great state through Parents United America, which I founded a few years ago to speak up for families around this state. I've realized hearing from them that the vast majority of us just simply want the same thing. As I was talking about safe streets, security on our borders and abroad, they want to just pursue their businesses. They want to recover after COVID when Biden and Bennett are trying to push through a $3.5 trillion debacle that would burden our children and our grandchildren for generations. And they want to have an education system that puts parents and children back at the center. The reality is Bennett is completely out of touch with that. Why? Because he's not really living in this economy that he's burdening everybody with. Like you said, he's an export. Grew up in Washington, D.C. He basically, from what I understand, lives in his mom's home where he grew up. He's back in his hometown of D.C., which is why he's not here and why he does not actually seem to care about the disastrous policies. The inflation, by the way, that's going to make it so that, you know, that families around the state are going to have to make decisions between gas and groceries or maybe, you know, those dance lessons for their daughter. That's where people live. And by the way, Kim, you and I know 75% of all budgets in households are handled by women. Now, it's not an identity politics thing, but these women, we have an opportunity to bring them back to common sense policies, suburban women up and down the Front Range and around the state, because it is hitting them in a way they never anticipated. I think we're going to see a lot of buyer's remorse for Biden and Bennett, who are both, by the way, upside down in this state now in polling.
Well, and a note on Bennett, I had no idea that we have a U.S. senator from Colorado that is probably sleeping in his parents' basement. And that's also another function of the Biden, Bernie Sanders economy that we have there. So I guess he can relate to that. Huh.
Right. Well, there you go. Whether he's in the basement or he has a whole house, I don't know. But that is his hometown in D.C., where he grew up and went to one of the most elite prep schools. His formative years were so far away from what Coloradans every day are facing, and it shows in the policies. That's why I hope people go to DeborahFlora.com and support this candidacy. Because, by the way, Kim, Bennett, what he has in common with everyone in D.C. is he gets millions of dollars in special interest money. My campaign will not be taking special interest money, so I need the support of every citizen, and I asked him to go to DeborahFlora.com to support what really is a Colorado grassroots-based candidacy to bring common sense back to Washington and end the nonsense. That's really it. It's time to say enough is enough and end the nonsense.
Okay. And is that Deborah or Deborah Flora?
It's Deborah. Thank you for asking. D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Flora, like flower, F-L-O-R-A.com, DeborahFlora.com. And that's where people can find out how to join the team and also support this campaign so that we can bring common sense back to our great state.
And Deb Flora, how would you like to button up this conversation?
You know, I would just like to say this. I have shown that I'm willing to take a stand from the school board to the state house. I've introduced legislation. I have stood up and testified. Kim, you and I have spoken in front of the Capitol building, always talking about common sense, common ground issues that the vast majority of Coloradans stand for. You know, and we've got people in D.C. that want to divide us. I truly believe unaffiliates, independents, Republicans, and even a lot of Democrats really just want to get back to common sense principles. And that's what I will fight for. You know, under my name on our website, it says courage, commitment, common sense. That's what I bring to this race as a business owner, as a mom, as a wife, as the founder of Parents United America. And I'm not afraid to stand up now in the U.S. Senate. So I really do encourage everyone to go to DeborahFlora.com to support this candidacy. And together, we can flip this seat, take back the Senate, and restore common sense and balance into Washington. It's time to say enough is enough, and that's what I'll do for the voters.
Okay. Well, Deborah Flora, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate it. You have a great day.
And same to you.
Thank you.
And before we go to break, on the line with me is Karen Levine. You know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. She's a great sponsor of both The Kim Munson Show and America's Veterans Stories Show as well. She's a longtime friend. She is the person that you want to have on your side of the table, whether or not you're buying or selling your home or a new build, because she has the experience of all these ups and downs in the real estate market here in the metro area. And Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Kim.
Lots been happening in your world. I know that you are down at the state convention, or have been just recently, for the Colorado Realtors Association. Is things cooling down in the real estate market here in Colorado, or what's going on?
Well, I would say the fall market is not cooling down. It's still super hot out there, and I did just return from the Broadmoor. We were celebrating 100 years of the Colorado Association of Realtors, and we were here getting educated and getting an update on policy, how we can help home ownership for our Colorado residents. And I am experiencing a lot of activity in the marketplace. I wrote an offer, and we're one of 10 offers on a property. Again, that lower price range, that under $500,000, a lot of demand, a lot of buyers in the market, and you really have to be strategic. And to do that, you need someone like myself to help you navigate that strategy so you can be successful in becoming a homeowner and achieving that homeownership dream.
And it seems, Karen, like there's been such an assault on single-family homes, single-family zoning, all of those things. Did you address that much down at the convention, or what do you know about that right now?
We haven't specifically looked at that, but the State Association is always looking at ways that we can increase homeownership and address that affordability issue, which really is an inventory issue, and the inventory issue is nationwide. We do have a National Association of Realtors board member who is looking at ways to help the veteran because the veteran hasn't been able to compete in our market because of the appraisal gap conditions, which means buyers are having to make up the difference between the appraisal and the purchase price with cash, and our veterans don't have that cash liquidity, so we're looking at ways we can assist them.
Okay, and very important. And again, I submit to you that this inventory thing is very much government-induced because of government policies making housing more expensive through rules and regulations. And we hadn't quite realized it. It's been kind of a price creep. And of course, as the values of homes go up, even if people don't sell them, their property taxes go up. I'm concerned about that as well. Is that an issue that you guys talked about as well, property taxes?
Yes, and I think people just need to understand as we come into this mid-year election next month that anything that is addressing increasing taxes is going to increase or decrease affordability in housing because it's going to affect property taxes, sales taxes, etc. And I know on the Denver ballot there is support for a mill levy, not increase, but to continue, but with assessed values going up, that means your property taxes will go up.
Right. And there's very few tax increases that I can support, because the way to actually increase tax revenue is to increase the private sector economy. And as that pie gets bigger, then the revenue to government goes up that way. That is the organic, healthy way to do that. Raising taxes ultimately hurts everyday hardworking people. Last thing, when people are looking at buying a home, many times they look at the school district. And I know that that is something that sometimes the Realtors Association may take stands on as well. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I am a resident of the Jefferson County School District. I am also a product of Jefferson County schools, public schools. And when I was in school, we were in the top 10% in the nation. Jefferson County Schools has lost that position over the years, and we have a new superintendent whose goal is to get back to that position, to have education at an exceptional level. And to do that, she needs a board, a school board, that is supportive of her efforts and can give her good direction, can govern well. And I would just encourage listeners in the Jefferson County location that they vote for Kathy Mix, Teresa Shelton, and Jeff Wilhite, because they have a vision to help the superintendent achieve excellence again in Jefferson County Schools.
And no matter what side of the political aisle we are on, we do not want our children to fall behind. We want our kids to have a good education. So again, those names for Jefferson County School Board are Kathy Mix, Jeff Wilhite, and Teresa Shelton. And to reach Karen Levine, to have her on your side of the table, whether or not buying or selling your home or a new build, what's that phone number, Karen Levine?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
Again, that's 303-877-7516. Thank you so much, Karen Levine.
My pleasure.
And we'll be right back with David Horowitz.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If it's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And I also get to work with some really great sponsors. And one of those is Kirsch Insurance Group. Their website is iKirsch, that's K-I-R-S-C-H.com, iKirsch.com. They are specialists in the Medicare arena. And right now is this open enrollment time where people can go in and make changes to what their coverage will be in the next year. And this time frame is from October 15th through December 7th. And Kirsch Insurance Group works with most of the carriers here in Colorado, so they can help you tailor your plan for you. It doesn't cost any money to work with Kirsch Insurance Group. So be sure and check that out. That is iKirsch.com. I am so thrilled to have on the line with me David Horowitz. He's been a guest before on the show several times, and he grew up as a red diaper baby. Basically, his parents were communists, and now here David Horowitz grew up as kind of in a communist household, was part of the new left, and now he is one of the most important voices for conserving the American idea. David Horowitz, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And it is quite a move from a red diaper baby to one of the most important voices for conservatism in America. Tell us again how you made that journey, David.
Well, you lose all your friends. That's the big thing. And that's why people kind of stay in the same groove and don't bother to look at the facts and reevaluate where they were. I left the left when... The left won its biggest victory from the 60s and 70s, which was to drive America out of Vietnam. The left had always claimed to be an anti-war movement, to care for the Vietnamese. The communists came in, and they proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million Indochinese peasants. Some of them, for example, in Cambodia, because they wore eyeglasses, and therefore they had carried the bad idea. They read books. That was their crime. 2.5 million people slaughtered, and there wasn't one demonstration against that invasion. There wasn't one protest of these massacres. That just went along its merry way, and I realized that the movement I was part of was not about peace or social justice. It was about hating America and causing it to lose the Cold War, which it's still doing. Our worst enemies and the left of the Democrat Party these days.
Well, you've written a new book, and it's called The Enemy. No, that was one of your other books. It was a new book, The Enemy Within: How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. But your latest book, you know what, I think I pulled up the wrong thing here, is regarding Black Lives Matter, BLM, and you're calling this a racial hoax. What is the name of this new book?
I Can't Breathe: How a Racial Hoax is Killing America. And of course, those two books are related. But I think the most dangerous thing that happens is that a total detachment from reality by the leaders of the Democrat Party, and an unwillingness or a timidness on the part of Republicans in fighting it. You know, hoax is a strong word, but my book, I Can't Breathe, covers the 26 most prominent cases where Black Lives Matter claims that people were killed because of their skin color, naturally black, since the new racism is, of course, white racism. That's the only group of people you're allowed to attack for their skin color. But the fact of the matter is these are all racial hoaxes. I'll start with George Floyd. You know, first, the first hoax was portraying George Floyd as a typical black person. He was a lifelong criminal. He was what you would call a scumbag with the dregs of society. He had been arrested 9 times in a short life for criminal offenses, one of them holding a weapon to the womb of a black mother while his gang rifled her house, looted her house. Yeah, you know, I knew that this was a hoax, the racial element, from the get-go. Why? Because 2 of the 4 policemen have been charged with murdering George Floyd are minorities. One of them is black. He joined the Minneapolis police force. By the way, the police chief in Minneapolis is black. The city council, anybody's a Democrat or a Green Party member. The attorney general for the state is Keith Ellison, who was a spokesman for Louis Farrakhan and then chair of the Democrat Party. And there wasn't anybody who wasn't horrified by the photograph, by the video of George Floyd with the knee on his neck. So how do you get a racial killing out of that? But the fact is, when this fake trial, basically what Black Lives Matter is a lynch mob, when you get the verdict first, and then the autopsy, and then the investigation, and then maybe the trial. And when you have the trial, the President of the United States is saying he prays every night for a guilty verdict. Fair trial out of that. But anyway, Keith Ellison was the chief prosecutor on the case, and he was interviewed by 60 Minutes within days of the verdict. And 60 Minutes asked him, and this is a direct quote, "Was there a racial element in the death of George Floyd?" And Keith Ellison's answer, "We couldn't find one. We couldn't find one. It's because it wasn't there." Everybody was desperate to find it. In other words, they couldn't find one witness to, in the fit of anger, Derek Chauvin, the officer, saying some nasty thing about black people. They couldn't find one witness to that. I mean, everybody has been had a fit where they say things they regret. But this is true of all these cases. You know, another famous one taken up by Oprah Winfrey to her everlasting disgrace is that of Breonna Taylor, who was a woman in Louisville who was misportrayed as a health care worker. She hadn't worked in that job for 3 years. What she was an accomplice to a major drug dealer. Oprah took out 26 billboards, one for every year of her life, called for the indictment of the officers, obviously for murder, and they all lost their jobs. and claim that, like everybody else on the left, that Breonna Taylor was killed in her sleep. It's a lie. What happened was this. There were 5 warrants for arrest from five different addresses from people who were aiding and abetting a major drug dealer in Louisville. Breonna Taylor was one of them. How did she aid and abet him? She rented a car in which a dead body appeared in the trunk. She used her bank account to hide his ill-gotten gains. She used her mailing address, let him that he used the mailing address for drug drops. And how did she die? When the cops announced they came at 12:30 in the morning, they had a no-knock warrant, but they announced their presence at the door, open up. And her boyfriend, they both had jumped out of bed, and her boyfriend saw one of the cops. Well, when that happens, I mean, these guys have families they want to go home alive to. So they have a saying. It's called pray and spray, which means you're being shot at. You don't know how many people are shooting at you. You don't know precisely where they are. And so you pray, and then you spray the area with bullets and hope that you kill them before they kill you. That's how she died, as a criminal. I mean, it's a tragic story. We know, you know, a lot of people are misled by their heart all the time. But she had plenty of warnings. And what was the business she was aiding there? It's killing black people, selling them fentanyl and crack cocaine and heroin. That's what she was aiding and abetting. And yet these cops have lost their jobs. You know, and the city council, which of course is all Democrats have just no idea what's going on in the world. They voted her family $12 million in wrongful death suit, without, of course, having to say why it was wrongful. It was a rightful death. Tragic, but deserved.
Okay, I'm talking with David Horowitz. He is the author of this new book, I Can't Breathe, How the Racial Hoax Is... I didn't write the rest of that down. David, what's the rest of the title?
Killing America. It's turning us into a tribal people where your skin color is the most important aspect about you. Okay. And if you have black skin color, you can do no wrong. If you're white, you can do no right.
And this is
the end of America.
And we realize a house divided cannot stand. We're going to go to break. I'm talking with David Horowitz, and he is the author of a new book, I Can't Breathe, How the Racial Hoax Is Killing America. Before we do that, though, I wanted to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are one of our great sponsors of both of our shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. We're getting into Christmas season, and so getting ready to do your holiday shopping, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. They're getting all kinds of inventory. And whether or not you're looking for a gift for a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. If you are a veteran, they do offer a veteran, first responder, or military, they do offer a 10% discount as well. That website is castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with David Horowitz.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And on the line with me is David Horowitz. And, you know, he is one of the most important national voices voices here in America, shedding light on all kinds of things, dark money, connecting the dots on that. He grew up, basically his parents were communists. He was part of the New Left. And then when he realized that the New Left wasn't really about caring about people, but instead, and they stood by while we saw much bloodshed in Southeast Asia, David realized that the narrative didn't match up with the actions. And so he is now, as I mentioned, one of the most important conservative voices in America. Your new book, David Horowitz, I Can't Breathe, How the Racial Hoax is Killing America. What they are trying to do is to divide us, to put us into groups, and then to divide us.
Oh, and more, to make white people responsible for everything that's bad in the world. Well, what they're really after is to destroy this country.
And to that point, though, one of the words that we continued to hear is that America is systemically racist. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we have the President of the United States is the chief fanner of racial hatred in our country. It is inaugural. He said systemic racism touches every aspect of American life. That is a monstrous lie. There is no systemic, there is. The only systemic racism in America is affirmative action, which privileges people on the basis of their skin color. But affirmative action policies had to go through the Supreme Court because systemic racism has been outlawed since 1964 by the Civil Rights Act. So if there was one of the 18,000 local police departments, even one, that was systemically racist, there would be a tsunami of lawsuits and millions of dollars forked over from people violating the law. The law says no public institution can be systemically racist. Yet the Democrat Party lives on this lie. Let me say, I marched on my first civil rights march in 1948. I have devoted my life to fighting for civil rights for black people and people of all colors. And, it's really painful to watch what's being done to our country. America, the saying is it's America's original sin is slavery. If it's anybody's original sin, it's Africa's. Because slavery existed in Africa for 1,000 years before a white person ever set foot there. The reality is that every slave in America was enslaved by Africans and sold as slave auctions in Ghana and Benin. And every slave owned their freedom to Thomas Jefferson, who for the first time in actually 3,000 declared slavery immoral, said we had God-given right to liberty. Life and liberty, of course. It's just a pack of lies. Black people owe their freedom to white Americans who liberated the whole hemisphere, actually. By the end of the 19th century, slavery was outlawed in the whole hemisphere. And yet Black Lives Matter pathological liars are saying things like the Constitution of the United States codifies white supremacy. I got news for them. The word white and the word black do not appear in the Constitution because the founders had designed a society of equals and, they weren't able to achieve it. Why weren't they able to achieve it? Not because they were hypocrites, but because the greatest slave, first of all, they did achieve it. All the northern colonies were free by 1804. But the most powerful empires in the world were Spain and England, both slave-owning powers, that tried to abolish slavery throughout America. The South would have declared war on the North, joined forces with the British or the Spanish, and crushed the North. And slavery would exist in some other way, who knows, 50 to 100 years. So it's colossal ignorance. You notice that when people on the left talk, they assert things. They don't give you any evidence for any of their statements. They just state them. because they know they're not going to have their feet held to the fire by a corrupt media. And because conservatives have a habit of letting them off the hook. It's like you don't want to embarrass people who are trying to destroy you. Please show me.
You know, this battle of the narrative, what you're talking about, and it used to be that in polite company, one doesn't talk about politics or religion. But yet, during that time where those that were not of the radical activist left were adhering to that overall, the radical activist left was talking about politics, was talking about religion, was taking over institutions in the education institutions and corporate boards. And we have seen taking over that way. And so we've been really asleep at the wheel. I find some real hope, though, David. We've really not chatted since before Biden was inaugurated. And and the whole COVID thing, the reaction, the disruption, I feel there is an awakening that is happening in America and by all Americans. And I'm encouraged on that.
We've had, thanks to Biden, we've had the complete incompetence, the lack of any truth in the left exposed for us over and over again. And as we speak, there's a lynch mob in Washington trying to indict Donald Trump for an insurrection that never happened. We've got people in jail for 10 months in solitary confinement charged with trespassing. This is a fascist regime we have in Washington, and I wish it was not just Trump was the only Republican I know who's used that term. These people, Nancy Pelosi is a fascist. You can't win a political war when they're calling us white supremacists, insurrectionists, domestic terrorists, and racists, and we're calling them liberals and progressives. What's progressive about turning the racial clock back 100 years? They want a tribal society where the first thing and the last and the most important that you notice about anybody and judge them on is their skin color. Why do you think they're so incompetent? It's because they use skin color and gender to make political appointments of people who are crazy leftists. And of course they're incompetent. No big surprise there. Even this jerk Buttigieg, who would be a nobody if he wasn't gay. I mean, the whole reason he's a prominent figure is because he was a gay failed mayor of a tiny city of 100,000. Now he screwed up the whole transportation and supply chain thing. There's no surprise. What qualified him to be transportation chief? The fact that he was gay.
Right.
Into the slot for him.
Right. And so we've been moving away from an America of achievement, of meritocracy. And David, I was at a meeting, this was several years ago, and there was a black woman that was sitting behind me. This was before Biden. So this was probably even back before Trump was elected. And they were talking about race. And she said, I don't want to be defined by my race. She said, I earned a scholarship to a very fine university, but they were also doing racial quotas on accepting black students into the university.
It undermines the achievement of black people. Yeah. And everything is done by quotas.
And that's exactly what she said. She said, I would be walking around campus and I would want to say to people, I earned my right to be here. It's not because of some quota. And I could just hear the frustration in her voice. And so there's a bigotry in low expectations.
The Democrat Party is a racist party. In the Ku Klux Klan sense, it's racist. A drop of black blood makes you black. A drop of white blood makes you white. It's lunatic. I shouldn't use a word like lunatic because it lets them off the hook. What we need is Republicans indicting Democrats for their moral turpitude. These are very, very bad people. Look, Democrats control every major inner city of any size in America, and they have for 50 to 100 years controlled them 100%. So like I said, in Minneapolis, the police chief is black and a Democrat. The whole city council, everybody in sight is a Democrat. The Democrat Party is, whenever there's a racial injustice in our inner city, the Democrat Party is 100% responsible. But you can't get Republicans to say that.
Yes.
Trump did when he was running. Well, he put it, well, you got to lose by voting for me.
Right.
Your schools are rotten. You have no jobs. Your crime is off the charts. Democrats did all of that. Who do you think is letting people out of jail, violent criminals? Democrats. Don't be nice to them.
We've got to, and no matter if you're inner city or where you live, instead of exporting crime from the inner city, let's import safe communities and school choice and different things so that that mom in the inner city, if that school is not working for her kid, that she can get him out of there. David Horowitz, we are out of time. What is your final thought?
Defund the schools. Give the money to the parents. That's called vouchers. Why aren't Republicans proposing voucherizing all education for everyone from kindergarten through graduate school? Take the power back. You know, these school boards, that's the teacher unions. Teacher unions have these giant slush funds that they use to win school board elections. That's why they're against the campus. Take the power away from them. I'm thrilled by what I see out there in these school board fights. And when I see, particularly with black Americans, because black Americans are treated the worst if they're conservatives. But we have a lot of black people out there finally standing up and expressing their true feelings. It's a terrible attack on black people to make everything about race.
It truly...
The AMA has... They're removing meritocracy from medicine.
It is unbelievable. And David Horowitz, I so appreciate you, and that new book is I Can't Breathe, How the Racial Hoax is Killing America. I greatly appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Michael Jordan. He says, I realize that I'm black, but I want to be viewed as a person. And this is everybody's wish. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.